Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And on the hotline with us is Peter John Ross. Peter is a 6-time regional Emmy nominated director. But again, as his mom will tell him, he hasn't won. But that's okay. He's won 15 awards and selected by over 50 films for his movie, The Social Media Monster. And we're happy to have Peter with us this morning. You there, Peter?
Yes, sir.
So Peter's movie talks about social media trolls. And it's a disturbing movie to watch. I watched it. Talks about, you know, and actually shows a social media troll in action, literally driving people nuts. The thing about this social media troll is they seem to thrive on any kind of validation. So for this interview, we're not going to bring up the troll's name.
Correct.
Don't want to feed the monster, as it were. So, but Peter, welcome to our program. You want to give us some background as to what's going on here down in Ohio? I mean, Mark Fearborn turned me on to you to say, hey, we should chat with you about this. What's going on? Can you give us some overview of what's going on down there in Ohio and what happened?
Yeah, it's essentially like 12 years ago.
Yep.
In 2012, I just had a bad interaction on an independent film website.
Yeah.
And the guy started emailing me, and it was very strange. Cut to a year later, I keep getting contacted by people because he's talking about me on Twitter, talking about me on other sites. And so other people that he was harassing were contacting me because he was talking about me so much.
Mm.
And it just kept growing. And even when I went like a year to year and a half of just ignoring him, like letting it go to spam, turns out I look at my spam folder, he was still emailing me the entire year.
Wow. So constant harassment.
And so I've just found it morbidly fascinating on one level. But then in 2018, I got a phone call from a city councilman in a city I'd never heard of called St. Joseph, Missouri.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, we're having problems with this guy named, and I'm not going to say his name.
Right.
And it was like, holy cow, he's harassing city councilmen, police officers, citizens, you name it.
Right.
And I became fixated on the story that initially it had nothing to do with me. And the reason the city councilman called me was the second art, the guy claimed he was making a newspaper, but it was really just a WordPress
mm-hmm.
blog
yeah.
that he called a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the second article was, there's a fat loser filmmaker in Columbus, Ohio named Peter John Ross. So people there are like, well, who are you? And I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And it spiraled, and I just became fixated on the storyline, and I thought I could make a documentary about it because I'm not really a major player in the story.
Right.
So I felt I could document this properly without it. I mean, I love movies by like Michael Moore and Morgan Spurlock, but I vowed I would never make a documentary where I'm in it. And of course, what did I make?
Yes, you're in it. That's a good point. So this thing about these trolls that are out there, and your movie kind of explores it. It's like the person that's doing all this seems to be addicted. Literally addicted. His, you know, we've got alcohol addiction, drug addiction. This person seems to be addicted to validation of any kind, whether it be legacy media validation, negative validation, any kind of response. Like if it's just this person wants that validation of any kind, and you can't stop it. It's like, why do you think this person has this addiction? It's, to me, is what it seems like.
Well, again, I am not a psychologist or psychiatrist, and I'm not qualified to diagnose. So anything I say is going to be this, you know, armchair guesswork by yeah. by somebody who's not an expert. But that said, generally what we think of as an internet troll is someone who likes to throw metaphorical grenades.
Right.
Like they would be online and go, I'm just going to say today, abortion is good, discuss.
Right.
And they just want to start fights.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoy the chaos. Think of the Joker in The Dark Knight. It's like right. it's an anarchist in a way.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, this particular troll, I think his need is, like you said, validation. He's seeking a validation he'll never get, but I think he is addicted to social media because he has found success in pretending to be things he's not.
Right.
Like, he's found that on the internet, he can pretend that he's an activist or pretend he's a filmmaker or pretend that he's a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And because in my opinion, in our society, for a society to work, a certain percentage of what we say to each other has to be true. Like, we all have yeah. to agree that it's raining out when it's raining out. We have to agree that that's a car that drove by. And someone like this takes real advantage of that when they pathologically lie more than they tell the truth.
Right. Yeah, that's an issue.
It's fascinating to me. I've never seen... Most pathological liars are preteen children that grow out of it. To see someone that's nearly 50 behaving that same way is just fascinating.
And when you watch the movie, you'll find that the subjects of this troll, the target of this troll, are in many cases fearful of their physical well-being because it seems to be threats are thrown around willy-nilly.
Yeah, and at this stage, you know, the documentary is what takes place in St. Joseph, Missouri in summer of 2018 through February of 2019, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The documentary is not about anything really about me and this guy. It mm-hmm. was about what happened to this city and yeah. some of the people in it. Since the documentary's come out, I've been granted a civil stalking protection order against him.
Wow.
He was held in contempt of court for violating it.
Mm-hmm.
He's been charged by the police for violating it. All of these are misdemeanors right. with no extradition. And as long as he stays out of the city of Columbus, he's going to get away with it.
Yeah.
And once he found that out, he has gotten exponentially worse.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, his targeting of me is severe. You mentioned my mom at the head of this because my mom made a cameo in the documentary making right. fun of me, saying it's like a nomination is not a win when it came to the regional Emmy nominations.
Right.
It got even worse when two of those nominations are for this documentary.
Yeah.
And when she found out I didn't win, she laughed in my face. She thought it was the funniest thing ever that it's like, ha ha, he still didn't get it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, my mom passed away this past January.
Oh, sorry.
And what's really bad is the social media monster found her obituary, screenshot it, put it out on X, calling her a fat B word,
mm-hmm.
a dead prostitute, and just really needled it. And it was just so tragic for my whole family.
Yep.
And so I'm in the middle of a defamation lawsuit, but the guy lives in his car and we can't find him to serve him.
Yeah, so that's the other aspect of this, right? So these social media trolls, you know, the laws probably have not caught up with what's going on social media. And of course, the local law enforcement or federal law enforcement, they have other fish to fry, right? There's bigger problems out mm-hmm. there. You know, when you and I were kids, you know, eighth grade, there's a bully that, you know, gave us a hard time. What did we do? We punched him in the nose. Guess what happened? The bully went away. Right. You can't do that in social media. So you really can't. You can trade punches all you want virtually, but you're not going to get anywhere. And of course, law enforcement doesn't have enough time and energy to deal with this. The platforms themselves have this, you know, kind of, hey, I've got diplomatic immunity kind of thing. We don't have anything to deal with here. You know, what are we going to, you know, you can't hold us accountable for what happens on our platform.
Yeah, so, that's referring to Section 230,
right?
Of and the before, Internet Decency Act.
And before we talk about it, can we take a break, Peter? Because we have to take a break and then get back to that. We'll talk a little bit about that Decency Act and your feeling on that, and we'll talk a little bit more. All right, we are back, and we're on with film director Peter John Ross. You there, Peter? Still?
Yes.
All right. And we're talking about social media trolls. Peter put together a movie, an Emmy-nominated movie, that, you know, nomination, which was very exciting. And it's called The Social Media Monster, and it talks about an internet troll. And we were just kind of talking about section, what was it again, 230?
Yeah, Section 230 of the Internet Decency Act, the federal law.
And that was back in the early 90s, right?
Ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
Essentially, with that law passed, it said companies like any internet company, but specifically companies like Google, Facebook, X, YouTube, all of them, they have no civil or criminal liability for anything a user posts on their service.
Right. Which you can see so is a potential problem.
Yeah, I mean, here's where I have conflicting feelings on
me
that.
Too.
Which is,
me too. Yeah.
And here's what's funny is three separate Google employees. Yeah. It's weird that they used the same metaphor because I feel like that's something internal if they all three used it and they didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
They said Google considers itself like a gun manufacturer. You can't sue Smith & Wesson when someone uses one of their guns to shoot somebody.
Well,
it's weird that they use that metaphor.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is weird. And actually, that's being challenged here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But that is a weird metaphor. But then again, Google said they would never do no evil, and they got rid of that, too. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing about Section 230, we obviously want to protect free speech. We don't want to stifle. We don't want to have censorship. I think what has to happen, in my opinion, is did you watch the World Series?
I did not, unfortunately.
All right. Well, there was a play where Mookie Betts got mugged literally in New York trying to catch a ball. There's two New York Yankee fans who mugged him.
Yep, I saw that.
So guess what? They're going to be banned for life from Yankee Stadium, right? You go ahead to Disney, and if you act up in Disney and you cause a problem within Disney, well, they have your fingerprint. They're not letting you back.
Right.
Right? You're banned from the platform. The thing about social media is the anonymity aspect. So, you know, at some point, maybe there should be, and I'm just talking out loud here, some sort of locked in biometric concept of if you want to participate on our platform, you need to be who you say you are. Mm-hmm. And then if they can, then they can ban you and you can't get back in. And then, you know, if a tree falls down, it doesn't make a sound. I mean, it makes who's there to hear it kind of thing, you know?
Interesting that you mentioned that is the titular monster in the documentary in 2020. Got a very harsh permanent ban from Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And in 2023, he's back on under his real name.
Huh.
And not only is he back on, Facebook is paying him for engagement in their pilot program called Bonuses.
What?
Jeez. That does actually.
What?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Keep in mind, on Facebook, through multiple accounts, he had been permanently banned at least two or three times that I can confirm.
Wow.
And after that, and we're talking about for making extremely violent threats.
Right.
Things for which he's criminally charged.
Right.
He has warrants for his arrest for making violent threats on Facebook.
Yep.
And now they're paying him.
Well,
and
that's
if you think of it from this,
gross.
And think about it. What is Facebook's motivation? They have no legal or civil liability
right.
for anything he does. When he gets into fights, it increases engagement, so more people are using their platforms.
Right. That's
so
pretty
they
cynical.
They benefit from him being like this, and they have no downside.
Well, that's pretty cynical.
I think, unfortunately, it's been proven true. And,
yeah.
And actually, the cynicism isn't that they are, like, conspiring with them. I think it's more of, they don't care.
Yeah.
They do not care about none of these companies. Facebook, and especially these days X, have zero interest in the safety of their users whatsoever.
Well, right, because they have an economic incentive to allow the threats to be sent over their property.
Yeah.
They're making money on all of that engagement. Every time somebody sees something in a feed, there's an ad that goes with that, mm-hmm. and they get revenue from that. Yeah. Why would they cut that off? Yeah. There is no incentive to do it.
And another economic incentive. Why pay people to moderate when we can use AI and we don't care if it works or not?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, just turn on the bot, let it run, and, you know, if it does anything, yeah, fine. If it does nothing, then yeah, fine too.
Yeah, so
exactly.
So Section 230 probably has to be adapted or changed.
There's a combination of things. The other half of that is the era that we're living through right now is very complex, because we talked about how law enforcement live on the federal and local level have better things to do, but also when the police were here once, mm-hmm. I had two guys that are out of the academy by only a couple months. And I asked them, how long were you at the academy? They said, 6 months. I said, and of that 6 months, how much time was spent on cyber crimes and online crimes? And they said, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So in 6 months, they got 45 minutes training.
Yep.
In 6 months, do you only spend 45 minutes online?
I know.
In today's world?
No. Yeah.
So it doesn't correlate. They're trained to deal with the real world, and you will have law enforcement officers and judges in the court system say, if it happened online, it's not real.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That to a 16-year-old.
Right.
Tell a 16-year-old that if it happened online, it wasn't real. See how they react. Is it real to them?
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's more real because it's spread.
Right. It spreads to their friends and then everybody around them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you go out to eat now, how many people are looking at their phone at dinner?
Exactly.
More than not.
Yeah. We're not in reality more than we're in reality these days, Peter.
True.
Do you want to hang out through the bottom of the hour news and talk a little bit more about this?
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll talk a little bit more with filmmaker Peter John Ross. He put together a independent film called The Social Media Monster about an internet troll. And it's definitely worth checking out. It's on YouTube, and we'll have a link to it as well. But we'll take a quick break for news and get back to that after this. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we're talking about social media trolls with filmmaker Peter John Ross out of Columbus, Ohio. Peter I was turned on to Peter by Mark Fearborn, who did this story about Columbus, Ohio, and the mayor over there, kind of going after the whistleblower who pointed out the cybersecurity breach was really kind of real. but we're on with Peter and talking about internet trolls and the damage they can do. And just before the break, Peter, you're talking about, you know, that 16-year-old getting bullied by the troll and sometimes to the ultimate end, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. Mark's going to love that you said his name. Because he was receiving an obtuse number of contacts from the same troll from my documentary.
Oh, my goodness.
As was the, I mean, and the thing is, the whole NBC channel that he worked for, they've been getting harassing contacts and called the police.
Oh, my goodness.
Filled out reports against the guy for years.
So while we went to break, it popped into my head that, you know, there was this quote-unquote scandal by some social media influencer who was telling people you could vote for Hillary via Twitter, right? And he got prosecuted so fast, he had to serve jail time for doing that. So again, it seems like our social norms as far as what we should be going after, you know, going after that guy, fine, I don't, good, whatever. But for some reason, this other guy can go ahead and do whatever he wants. And, you know, threat bodily harm, threat physical injury. You even talk about like a nuclear threat. There was some sort of nuclear plant threat.
Yeah. And this is so fascinating because in the documentary, kind of the zenith of the story is when the city of St. Joseph started to ignore the troll, that craving for attention got to be so much, he sent threats to commit acts of terrorism at a nuclear facility.
Yeah.
And which he denies doing, but that's such a weird denial when it's the same email address.
Right.
He's been sending to city officials and police and media for months.
Right.
And then suddenly, well, the only email that isn't real is this one that happens to break a federal law.
Right.
So it's a little strange. And then his follow up to that was the facility, he suddenly shift gears. He included, for some reason, a website called scumbag.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only ones that replied to him and said, "Are you serious?" He goes, and they were in Akron, Ohio, even though that has nothing to do with St. Joseph. Yeah. No one knows why he included them in the email. They're the only ones that responded because they were like, this getting an email threatening nuclear attack is kind of a strange thing. And so, like, are you joking or not? Like, we don't know you. What is this? And his response was, like, he looked up where they are and said, "I'm at the nuclear facility closest to you." So they then called the police and the FBI. And they found him. He had just crossed state lines from Ohio into Pennsylvania because he was traveling a lot. And so the strange thing is like the FBI investigated and they told me, because here's the worst part. He then said, "I was hacked," and it was Peter John Ross who sent that email, which led to a 2.5 interview with the FBI for me.
For you, yeah. Crazy.
But it wasn't. But it wasn't that serious because they just asked right away. It's like, "Have you ever accessed any of his accounts?" I'm like, "No." They're like, "Yeah, we knew that already.
Yeah, I know."
we have to ask, but you know, we already knew you hadn't.
Well, that's the other thing, Peter. You think about, we see all these true acts of violence created by these social media folks who, you know, shoot up schools or they take action on churches or what have you, or other groups. And you hear within the town, you hear within the community, the police and FBI community, "Oh yeah, they've been on our radar. We visited them a million times." Or do you talk to anybody in the community? "Oh yeah, we knew he was going to snap." Heck, in your case, the guy says he's going to snap. So it's like, how do we treat, you know, we throw a guy in jail for lying about how you can vote, literally instantly turn around, lock him up, put him in jail, right? But this type of thing, this troll seems to say whatever he wants up to threatening a nuclear facility, and he's still out there.
But, you know, the difference between this particular troll, he's so dedicated to his trolling, he has completely reshaped his life so that he can continue trolling. Meaning, do you know why those other people got arrested? They have a job house.
There you go.
They have something to lose.
Gotcha.
This guy currently lives in his car and moves around a lot. He doesn't have a regular day job of any kind. Like, he does handyman work through Craigslist sometimes. He e-begs for money.
Gotcha.
So he doesn't actually have a job you have nothing to hold over his head in terms of societally.
So that's the question then. You've lived through this, and to our listeners out there who may have their own social trolls after them, is there any advice you can give about how to, you know, respond to trolls, how to inform law enforcement of trolls, how to deal with trolls? I mean, you've been through it long enough. I suspect you might have some thoughts on that. Like, what advice would you give?
I have two things for that. Number one, do the opposite of what I did. do the opposite. I did everything wrong that you can possibly do, which is, like, when he first started emailing me, it pretty quickly, I did the right thing at first. And I said, "I have no interest in what's going on with you. Please stop contacting me."
Mm-hmm.
And I should have never responded again. Instead, and this is not an excuse, it's just the details of, I was going through the equivalent of a divorce, and he had just sent me 5 or 6 emails in a row saying pretty horrendous things. So I'm like, well, if I'm in a bad mood, why not take it out on someone who deserves it? The person that just was very abusive, why not give back a little? And I said horrible things to him.
Gotcha.
And it clearly left a mark because he's still harassing me to this day.
So you recommend not engaging.
My recommendation is do the opposite, which is don't even reply. I mean, legally, you have to send one reply that says, "Do not contact me in any form again."
Gotcha. That's a legal response. Okay.
That is a legal response because anything they send to you after that is technically against the law. Okay. It is telecommunications harassment.
All right.
In pretty much every municipality in the United States.
Okay.
And then that leads to number two, which is if somebody is persisting, because what generally happens, and even with this particular troll from the documentary, in 9 out of 10 cases, once you say that to him, he sends 2 or 3 more responses to show that he's willing to push his toe past the line of the law, but then he just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, that's what will happen.
Yep.
You'll get 3 or 4 additional contacts trying to get out of them whatever they need to say for their ego, but then they just move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have somebody that's more like this troll, and if you're that 1 out of 10 that he fixates on, like myself and, as you said, Mark, he will not stop. I mean, the attorneys for the NBC station sent him a cease and desist, and he has not stopped.
Jeez.
And that's just Mark's situation. And the thing is, there's way more than that.
Yeah.
The problem is as they do it, do not respond at all.
Right.
Give no response, and then get documentation, meaning call the police, not the 911 call,
right,
but just call a regular police line and fill out a report.
Yeah.
And in cities like Los Angeles, even when he threatened to kill a professor at California State University, according to her, she said the LAPD wouldn't even take a report because it was on the internet.
Oh, my goodness.
The thing is, you can force them to take a report. You can say, I need to get a report number, and make them do it. Because a lot of cops, like I said, they're trained to deal with the real world. They think this is a waste of time. Get a report.
Right. Yeah, this is real stuff.
Get it in writing by somebody other than you.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's real stuff. And again, like you mentioned, the police are not really trained on it as much based on your example. I know that we're lucky enough to have a cybercrime division of the FBI here in New Haven that focuses on this type of stuff. So thankfully, there are law enforcement agencies that do focus on it. So, Peter, we appreciate you being on the program and letting people know about this.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. And best of luck with your situation. And thank you for letting us know about what we can do to maybe protect ourselves from trolls like this. And again, maybe folks who are in lawmaking might actually consider improving some of those laws to see what we can do.
That's the hope, just to see new laws that then law enforcement can follow.
Very good. Well, all the best, Peter. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. So Peter John Ross, the social media monster. It's on YouTube, and we'll put a link up there for you to check it out. And hopefully that's given you some insights as to some of the darker areas of the internet that we have to deal with. It's not the dark web, per se, because it's actually the out there in the open.
It's different social media platforms that are being acted out upon.
So, all right, we'll step out for a quick break and they'll get to your calls. Paul in Florida, you're up next. We'll be right back.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We'll take as many calls as we can until the top of the hour. 860-522-9842 is the number. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works if you're part of the Computer Talk with Tab listener network. The links are there as well. And if you follow us on X, they're there as well. So let's go to your calls here. We're going to go to Paul in Florida. How's it going in Florida there, Paul?
Good. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's good up here, too.
Yeah.
Good. Hey, I sent you an email, but you picked me up before the show ended, so that's good. I appreciate that.
Our pleasure.
And my question is, I got a Mac that I purchased in 2013. It's running, what do we got this? It's Sierra 10.13.6,
mm-hmm.
And I got a Safari 13.1.2. And I've been getting this persistent Xfinity pop-up telling me I won something or whatever.
Won something?
You won something?
Yeah.
The Australian lottery?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Then, you know, I just get rid of it and dump it. But I only get it when I'm watching live TV links.
Only
I don't get it if I don't get it any time, any other time.
What browser are you using to watch the live TV links?
Safari.
Hmm.
And Chrome. I switch back and forth to see if it follows one or the other, and it pops up on both.
Interesting. So you get the same pop-up.
It tells me it's in the machine. It's not coming from what I can surmise.
I don't. Go ahead.
My question to you was. I was thinking about loading antivirus. I've never had one, but I don't know whether this thing's too old to download one. Well, and, whether I might be opening a can of worms in that regard.
Well, I did notice your email. You do have High Sierra operating system, which went
correct.
End of life in 2020.
Aww.
So it is 4 years old.
4 years dead.
Yeah. You're right. 4 years dead.
Dead.
Okay. At any rate, you can probably get an antivirus for it. We've recommended Sophos for Mac.
Yep. Or ESET.
Or ESET. Matter of fact, Sophos for Mac might not even be in existence anymore. And then we may have had to switch to ESET. Mm-hmm. At any rate, you can do that. But I wonder if what's going on is that you're getting notifications from a website through Safari and Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would suggest is just turning off those notifications. And we can post articles about how to do that.
It also could
I
be
went
just
into notifications and I don't see any notifications.
So you could also have like a little bit of a browser hijack going on there and just clear the cache.
Too.
You know, if you just clear your caches on both of those browsers completely, that might just solve it.
Okay. All right.
But
yeah,
it's not
so
a virus.
I think I may be in the market for a new machine.
Oh, yeah. That's an old box.
Yeah. That seems to be working fine for my usages and this and that, other than I get that annoying pop-up.
You clear those caches on those browsers, I bet you're going to get rid of the problem.
Get rid of that thing. Let me ask you a question here. I don't know whether you can comment on other people's equipment, because I used to listen to you guys all the time when I was up there, and I forgot all about you. And then I was going through my links for mm-hmm. computers and stuff, and I saw you guys. I said, oh, crap, let me call these guys. I used to listen to them all the time.
Yeah.
Because I also go and I listen to Kim Commando, and she's pretty informative. Hear a lot of little good tidbits from her.
Yeah, she's prettier
than
us.
She pushes. I've never seen a picture of you guys, but I'm sure she is just a tad prettier. But I do see this one that she pushes. This, I forget what it's called, something AV, Total AV or something. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we would go with that. I think she's maybe getting a commission on that. We get every link we give you, every recommendation we give you, we get nothing for. So there's literally
nothing.
Okay.
So was that another one you mentioned? ESET?
ESET. Yeah, that's a free
ESET,
free AV. I think you can find for Apple Mac.
Yeah, we can get a link for that.
We do this as a public service, so
I get it. Yeah, no. I used to get a kick out of listening to you guys on Saturdays and stuff. So,
well, we're still here, man.
I know. Now I got you on the top of my list. I got you in there. So something to do on Saturday morning while we're waiting for the next storm to come in.
Yeah. Well, you can also subscribe to us too. Are you in the West Coast or East Coast of Florida?
I'm over on the West Side.
All right. Well, you've already had two, so you should be good.
Yeah. Well, we got another one coming around. There's one out there right now.
I know.
Just popped up the other day. It was born in the same place as the last two were born. So, well, let's see what happens. Hopefully,
crying out loud.
It won't make it to Verition. We'll have to see what happens. But
yeah,
it's in the same spot. So, all right, listen, guys, I appreciate it. And take care. And
you too, Paul.
Enjoyed. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can always subscribe to our podcast over on the old Odyssey app there, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can go onto Amazon and subscribe to us. Apple's got us. Only people that don't seem to have us is Spotify doesn't seem to have us. I don't know why. But otherwise, you can find us almost anywhere you subscribe to a podcast. Or if you listen to us on the Odyssey app, you can listen to us anytime. So we're here till 11. We're getting tight there at the top of the hour. Do you want to bring up any news there, Dennis?
Well, we were... I was taking a look at some, well, the Change Healthcare breach. There's some news about that.
It's awful.
It's finally come out, and they, after months,
yes,
they finally figured out what the scope of the breach was.
It's now they've now been they said to all other breaches, hold my beer. Yeah, they're the biggest.
It's 100 million people.
Americans,
yes.
That's bad.
It's very bad.
And again, so Change Healthcare isn't that part of United Healthcare?
Yes. Yep.
100 million of us have had our data impacted. And again, you're going to say to yourself, well, geez, Eric, it's just another Saturday with another breach.
Yeah.
According to United Health Group, they've incurred $1.521 billion in costs, in direct breach response costs, and $2.45 billion in total cyber attack impacts. And of course, that also includes the $22 million. So here's the thing. This is the sad part about this. I remember this now. So basically, there's two groups, I guess Black Hat and Alpha V, who had the data, and they said to United Healthcare and Change, hey, look, just pay us this ransom of $22 million. Oh, by the way, it's in Bitcoin. I know that if Bitcoin didn't exist, pretty hard to move $22 million around. But they said, if you pay us $22 million, we will pinky swear not to release your data.
Yeah.
Well, of course, between Black Hat and Alpha, they fought about the money and they cheated each other. Right. And basically they somehow, between the two, the one of the gangs took the other gang's ransom and ran away with it. So you can't, no honor in thieves, of course.
Right. They took the money, they ran, and then they didn't unencrypt it.
Right. And the data's out there.
Right.
So we'll put this link up. It's from Krebs on Security. And I guess the moral of the story is we have to do better securing our systems, obviously. They don't really talk about how the leak or the penetration occurred. But if they had to find everybody, if this is a HIPAA violation, right? 100 million records, a HIPAA violation. I don't even know. This is the biggest penalty. The penalty that was out there to impose to date was $16 million against Anthem,
yep.
Which suffered a data breach in 2015. So I'm not sure what you're going to see here as far as a HIPAA violation penalty against. Did you read anything about that, Dennis?
No, I didn't see anything about that.
That's going to be a big penalty, I suspect. So they're already $2.5 billion in. So the moral of the story is, guys, secure our data.
Yeah, keep it secure.
We'll put the link up there for you guys to read. I want to thank you all for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Peter John Ross for joining us, talking about how to deal with social media trolls. And he put out a movie called The Social Media Monster. You can check out on YouTube. And thank Carolyn for producing, Mike G for posting everything for us as well on Facebook and Twitter, and Dennis too here, who posted everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
And if you want to come out for a concert on Monday, Southington Symphonic Band, 7 o'clock, Southington High School, and we worked really hard, and it's a free concert, so come out and join us and check it out. We'll see you next Saturday.
Okay.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.